Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. I am your boy 12 Kyle. I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. Again, this is the Rap Soul Podcast. This is the intersection where we have discussions about music, more specifically R&B, hip hop, rap, and soul music from the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s. Simply put, folks, this is the best music podcast that you've never heard. Until right now. Again, I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. Got a shout out to everybody who is watching on YouTube. On this episode, we're going to be doing something a little different. It's a segment that I wanted to do, and I've had this idea for the longest time. And quite honestly, when I picked out this particular segment, I already had somebody in mind, and that is today's guest. He's no guest. Honestly, he's no stranger to me. Been rocking with this cat for a minute. One of my favorite podcasters. He's got several podcasts. Since we last spoke, At the Plate with Danny Foxworth, A Wicked Good Time. Ladies and gentlemen, bringing into the Rap Soul Podcast, my man Danny Foxworth is in the building. Danny, what up?
What up, 12 Kyle? Man, it's great to be back on, man. I had a hell of a good time the last time I had you on the pod. And you actually were a guest on my most recent episode of Since We Last Spoke, where we recapped the year 1992. So y'all make sure y'all check that out.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And we had a good time reminiscing, man. I gotta tell you again, you came up with some great topics, things that happened in 1992. A couple of things I had forgotten that it happened in 1992. But it was a crazy year. It was a very pivotal year. And it was a year, you know, that we really remember for the culture. And, you know, musically speaking, one of the things that we did talk about was probably arguably the best album that dropped in 1992. And that was Dr. Dre's The Chronic. Yes. So we are going to do something a little similar here. But the thing is, we're going to call this Which Tape You Bumping First. And so what it is I have a list of six different tapes. And I gave Danny the list of tapes. They're actually in a meme. We're going to talk about each tape. We'll start with six and then work our way up the countdown, or down the countdown, if you will. And I wanted to talk about this, obviously, with somebody like Danny, who is very, very deep as far as music and well-versed. And I think the topic is very apropos to our era. Which tape are you bumping first? Because here's the thing, folks. We didn't always have streaming music, right? We had to, you know, go to our local record store or our local Sam Goody or Best Buy or, you know, Circuit City, wherever you, or Radio Shack, if you're old as me, to purchase our favorite tapes. And before there was MP3s and CDs, we had tapes. And so when I saw the meme, I was like, yo, I got to get Danny Foxworth on for this one. So before we even jump into that, Danny, take me back to your tape purchasing days. Was there a specific record store that you would go to, a specific place that you would go? And what was the first tape that you remember purchasing with your own money?
So the first part of that question, there were a handful of places that I went. There was a spot in the next town over in Somerville, South Carolina, called Cat's Music. And I would get tapes from there. And then the big deal was in Charleston. We had a spot called Manifest Discs and Tapes. Mm. And I would go there. And then in North Charleston was a spot called Local Records. And the thing that held Local Records so dear to my heart is they really specialized in selling tapes from local artists. So that's where I really got immersed into the local rap scene, is by Local Records. And then we also had, at one point, we had a music store in Monk's Corner called Music Junction. And the cool thing about Music Junction, shout out to Miss Joanne, she would get the tapes a little bit ahead of schedule. So back then, you know, album releases were on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. By Monday, she would already have them for sale. So we would always go there and just and we'd come, we like sometimes we'd skip lunch and we would go to Music Junction and we would come back bumping the album that wasn't scheduled to be released until the next day. And then the second part of your question, the first tape that I ever bought, and this actually I posted this on my IG stories last week, was the first Leaders of the New School album, A Future Without a Past. I went with my uncle Rayford. He mm-hmm. took me on a trip one Saturday down to Jacksonville. And the first place we stopped was the flea market. And I got the tape from there. And, you know, I got the tape. And then after we left there, we basically spent the rest of the day at the dog track and then drove back up to South Carolina. And I played that album front to back the whole way back to South Carolina. So yeah, that was the first album I bought with my own money.
Wow, man, you got me reminiscing here. As you can see, for those of you who are watching on YouTube, thank you for watching. Danny's got the Made in Long Ridge T-shirt because he's from Long Ridge, South Carolina. Now in Monk's Corner. So we both are South Carolina guys, South Carolina kids. And the one thing that he said that it just really struck a memory was Manifest. Tape disc and tapes. We had one in Florence as well, in my hometown of Florence, South Carolina. And man, I used to go there all the time. I mean, me and my boys would find gems. I mean, yeah. Gems of tapes really in like the little $3 bin. Like you would think, okay, you know, nobody's buying these tapes or whatever like that, but that's where we found some of our best tapes. Also for me was Ray's in Florence, is no longer there anymore, but Ray's Record Store. Man, I used to spend countless hours on Saturdays picking up, you know, the latest tapes. And I just remember, you know, one of the things, and I talk about it all the time, that changed everything for me was my boy Jay Fresh. He went to Ray's, and Ray's had this bin where my guess is that there were tapes that he put in the bin for like $3. And what happened was the regular tapes were being sold for $7 or $8. And by this time, we're in middle school. We can't afford none of this stuff. And so Ray's had a bunch of West Coast tapes, you know, because nobody was really purchasing them. And we didn't even know it as West Coast. They just, only thing you could do is look at the cover and tell, like, okay, these people ain't from New York City, right? And he bought NWA and the Posse for $2.99, the full tape. And he played it for me, blew me away, changed everything. After that, I was a West Coast, you know, because we were able to get, and I talk about it all the time, that how we were able to get, you know, West Coast music, West Coast tapes quicker than we could get a Run DMC tape. And geographically, I'm closer to New York than I am to LA.
Right.
But yeah, man, I just, that time right there, man, it was special, man. Just going to the record store, getting your favorite tapes and then driving home and or catching a ride home, if you will, like you said, you know, and listening to the tapes. So without further ado, man, let's get it cracking, man. Which tape you bumping first? So let's start, I guess, with number six. What do you have at number? And folks, you don't know what tapes he has, or at least what's listed, but it'll be there on the screen. So start with number six. What are you bumping and why?
I'm bumping the Fugees, The Score. And the reason why is because that one, out of all of the tapes on the list, has the least amount of replay value for me. My friends and I, we had a discussion about the album not too long ago. And they were like, yo, that album was dope. You should go back and give it a re-listen. And I went back and re-listened to it. And I'm like, man, this album aged like milk to me, man. It just didn't hold my interest like the other ones on this list. Truthfully, there were only three songs on this album that I really enjoyed. It was Cowboys is my joint. I love that joint. That one, The Beast, I loved. And then, Zealots. That was the third song that I liked. But yeah, other than that, that's about it. I never cared for Killing Me Softly. Never cared mm-hmm. for Ready or Not. I know those are bangers, but they just didn't do anything for me. And then on top of that, Prize is in the group. So that's a good enough reason to leave them.
Wow, a little Prize slander. So you went Fuji La? You weren't feeling Fuji La?
Fuji La was cool. It didn't really
okay.
like knock me over the head.
All right. Well, I mean, hey, That's a good enough reason. I think, obviously, the score from the Fugees 1996, their biggest album, I think it went diamond. Everybody had the tape. I mean, like, I don't know anybody that didn't have the tape. When you sell that many records, it's a given that everybody's going to have that tape. But no, I definitely feel where you're coming from on that one. Get no argument for me. I love that album. It aged pretty well for me, but I will say that, you know, you probably, if you weren't feeling it back then that's not an album that you just come around on, you know, some 20 years later and be like, oh yeah, you know, I kind of, no, you either liked it or you didn't. All right. So what you got for number five?
Number five would be an album that you and I talked about in great length on the 1992 episode, and that would be The Chronic.
That's what's up.
And The Chronic, I love that album. Still to this day, it bangs from beginning to end. But in terms of sentimental value, which is going to come into play for a lot of the other albums, this one here, like, it was a moment, but it wasn't like, for sentimental purposes, it didn't really resonate with a lot of my friends during that time, because a lot of my friends were strictly East Coast, and so they didn't really latch on to it like I did.
The Chronic was everywhere. As I mentioned on the episode that we just recorded, it's one of those albums that, you know, I think it was very pivotal for hip hop at the time that it came out. But we had not seen anything like it. And to be honest, nobody really knew what to expect. I didn't really kind of get into that when we talked about it on your podcast, but nobody knew what to expect, because we were used to seeing in music, R&B singers leave a group and go solo. You know, this was new territory for us, for a rapper to leave his group and go solo. And it wasn't like Dre was just, you know, no disrespect, DJ Yella. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was an integral part of the group. And so you remove him from the group. Ice Cube had already left. So NWA, as we knew it, wasn't NWA anymore, but you just don't know how Dre is going to strike out on his own. And, you know, that was part of the introduction of a young Calvin Brodus Jr., a.k.a. Snoop Dogg, and the rest was history. Welcome to Death Row. And I mean, Death Row literally ran hip hop for the better part of the next 3 to 4 years, nonstop. And it was, a lot of it had to do with, you know, Dr. Dre's sound, but a lot of it came on the back of this particular album. So I definitely feel where you're coming from on that one. What you got at number four?
Number four, I got Outkast, Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music. And that one, so speaking of sentimental value, number one, they're from the South. They're the only Southern group out of this list. And being that they were from the South, that resonated a lot with myself and a lot of my friends. And on top of that, we had never heard a sound like Organized Noise. We're just with incorporating the live instrumentation to their production. And that struck a chord with me, being that, you know, growing up in a house where my dad plays guitar. So it was really neat to see them incorporate that kind of stuff to the hard drums. And that music really just, it stuck to my ribs, man. And to this day, I play that one from front to back. That's probably my second favorite Outkast album, if I'm being honest. And I mean, just Get Up, Get Out. I mean, just the message alone. That was the first time we heard CeeLo. And I tell you, boy, he really stamped himself with that verse. I don't recall ever graduating at all. Sometimes I feel I'm just a disappointment to y'all. Every day I just lay around and I can't be found asking money, give me some, living life like a bum. And he was just, that man was talking on that verse, man. And I love that one. Especially, I mean, look, when Players Ball dropped, that was a moment. Because we didn't see anything like that really from the South at that point in time. And just seeing Dre with the furry Kangol and the Braves jersey, I'm like, see, that's dope, man. They're keeping it true to Atlanta. And that really stuck to me as well, being from the South. And that one, I'm putting Outkast, Southern Playlist of Cadillac Music, at my number four spot.
I think that album, it resonates so in so many ways, because for the first time, and I mentioned it before, and I'll continue to repeat it, it spoke to us because here were two guys that look like us, that walk like us, that talk like us, that dress like us, and they were unapologetically country. And, you know, there was a level of pride and a level of purpose in their music. And when you think about, like you said, Organized Noise, the way that that sound, when you hear Southern Playlist and Cadillac Music come on, when you hear that bass line when the song first starts, I mean, that's about as Southern as you can be when it comes to hip hop. And again, like to your point, this is live instruments. Nobody had really done that, not particularly from the South, not in that fashion. You know, I know Pimp C did a lot with UGK, and they were a little bit before Outkast's time, but, you know, it was just in 1994, man, that was everything. So for me, Danny, I'm with you. That album always spoke to me. It still speaks to me. And you know, I could make a case that, yeah, they're right. They probably should have got another half a mic. What you got at number three?
Number three, I got Illmatic. Illmatic at three, simply because this one, as far as albums that my friends and I were drawn to, this one was late in the game. So that's the reason why I got it at number three, because this one came out in 94. And it was the other two albums that we have ahead of this one were the ones that we were drawn to the most. But Nas, Illmatic, and honestly, I was a little late to the game with Illmatic. I heard It Ain't Hard to Tell, but it was probably 6 months after I heard It Ain't Hard to Tell that I actually went and listened to Illmatic. And I was like, oh, it got five mics in the Source? So what was I waiting on to listen to this album? When I listened to it, I was like, bro, this man, Nas, he pretty much drew a line in the sand. I was like, you either over here or you riding with me. And boy, I tell you, you talk about, just like with CeeLo, making a statement. He made a statement on it. I like his first album. Your first album is five mics. I mean, that's kind of hard to ignore. And then, you know, The World Is Yours. My goodness, that song is so perfect to me. The black and white video, the sample, the Pete Rock on the beat. I mean, Nas jumping in. I sip the Dom P, watching Gandhi till I'm charged. I'm like, boy, I tell you, he's just setting the tone. I tell you what, and my pops ain't into rap at all. He heard that song. I was watching the video on Rap City when I was in high school, and he was like, I like that. That's got a groove to it. And, you know, when your parents like it, and that's not their wheelhouse, I'm like, okay, this is saying something. So yeah, that one, I mean, Premier, got Large Professor. It's just like a laundry list. It's just like a who's who, you know, LES. It's so many bangers. I mean, just from beginning to end. So yeah, Illmatic is my number three choice.
If you want a podcast where culture, conversation, and life collide, where you get insightful commentary, engaging discussions, and a fresh perspective on everything, then you need to listen to the 12 Kyle podcast, hosted by the one and only, yours truly, 12 Kyle, a voice that you know and trust. This podcast will bring you thought-provoking moments, compelling stories, and a whole lot of fun. Whether you're a first-time listener or just tuning in, each episode promises to be something new and exciting. So sit back, relax, join 12 Kyle, myself, and my guests as we break down the world around us and give you stories that you've never heard before, from nostalgic throwbacks to everything in between. The 12 Kyle podcast is a front row seat to this conversation. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the 12 Kyle podcast, where the vibe is always real and the discussion is always worth your time. Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so, tune in to the Rap Soul podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shape the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast and enjoy the vibes. I think it's one of the greatest albums ever made.
Yes.
I just remember after hearing it for a couple of times, when I bought the tape, the only thing bad I could say about the album was that it was 39 minutes. And so like that was the only knock that I had. I ain't had nothing else bad to say about it. It was just incredible. And I still think that it's an incredible piece of work. It's one of those albums, Danny, where even when I listen to it to this day, it might be a snare, it might be a kick drum, it might be, I hear something different each time that I listen to it. And that says a lot about, you know, this album. And it's still amazing to me that I'm only like 8 months older than Nas. And we were basically around the same age when he wrote this album. And so like I was at South Carolina State University running around playing football, having fun. And Nas is in Queensbridge penning, you know, the story of his life and the tales and everything that he said in this album is just incredible. And I think it's a piece of art. It's a beautiful piece of art. I love this album. Never get tired of listening to it. I listen to it all the time, even to this day. So yeah, I'm not mad at your number three. What you got at number two?
Number two. Down to the final two we got. For my pick for number two is End of the Wu-Tang, 36 Chambers. And this is one of the ones that has the biggest sentimental value because during that time, all of my friends, we swore up and down we were Wu-Tang. I mean, we had the baggy boss jeans. We even rocked Timbs. Like, we're in Monk's Corner, South Carolina. What are we doing wearing Timbs in Monk's Corner, South Carolina? Mm. You could not tell us we wasn't Wu. And one of my friends, shout out my homie Travis, he actually would have the half bush, half braids like ODB. Like, he wanted to be ODB. He even came to school with the shades and the one lens knocked out. I was like, man, this man, he's just, you talk about influence. But yeah, it was just a sound that nobody had ever heard before. And then using the Kung Fu elements and the Kung Fu samples. And then just the names, RZA, JZA. I mean, Method Man. I mean, with a name like Method Man, you got to pay attention to what the dude is about. And I'll never forget when we would go to gym, whenever we would go in the locker room to change clothes, my man Kenyon, he always snuck his boombox in there, and he had the cassette single with Method Man and I think that might have been the B-side to, I want to say it was Can It Be All So Simple? I'm not 100%, but he would always put the cassette single in and M-E-T-H-O-D, man, M-E-T-H-O-D. And we took so long getting dressed because everybody was in the locker room just wilding. So, yeah, 36 Chambers. And then the first time I heard Old Dirty, to this day, whenever 9 times out of 10, when I wake up, the first thing I play is Shame on a Nigga. I love that record so much. Golly, that's crazy. It came out in 93 and it still got a hold on me the way that it does, man. That's a testament to the greatness of Wu-Tang. So, yeah, 36 Chambers is my number two.
That album from front to back, it is it's something special, man. I mean, like, that album really, really came out of nowhere for us. And we're on a college campus, and, you know, you one of the great things about being on a college campus is that you're always being exposed to different music. And I just remember listening to this CD. And here's the thing, folks. There was no, I mean, like, I don't even remember seeing any liner notes, but like, I couldn't know. I had to listen to the album because I didn't know whose voice was who. So I remember, you know, in Wu-Tang Clan Ain't Nothing to Fuck With, they shout out Morgan State. And so I was like, oh, maybe they went to Morgan State. So I'm thinking Wu-Tang went to Morgan State. And so like we had no point of reference, but listening over and over and over again, you finally put the names with the voices. And I remember, like, when they first came out, Ghostface really was Ghostface. Like, you couldn't see his face. Like, any media, any press run that they had, his face was covered. He was covered in a mask, and we obviously know why. He was running from the law. But yeah, man, one of my favorite groups of all time. This album still gets a lot of play in my ride. I mean, it is an incredible piece of work. And obviously, Danny, go ahead and tell folks what you got at number one and why.
And before I get to number one, I also got to piggyback on 36 Chambers. Shout out to the torture skit. That was one of the funniest skits ever. I love the torture skit. Beat them shits with a spike bat. Blah! But my number one pick ever, my number one pick is my second favorite album of all time. My favorite album of all time is the album that we actually talked about the last time I was on your podcast, which is Black on Both Sides by Mos Def, a.k.a. Yasiin Bey. But Midnight Marauders by A Tribe Called Quest is my second favorite album of all time, and it is number one. That is hands down the first tape I'm bumping out of this list of albums. I'll never forget. My mom bought me this album for Christmas in 93. And this album holds the most sentimental value to me, because just like when you had me on the 1992 episode and I was talking about my guy Randy Cooper, me and him were the biggest Tribe heads at Berkeley Middle School. And we both came back from Christmas break with the tape, and I remember we had a field trip. The North Charleston Coliseum had just opened, and we went on a field trip to a South Carolina Stingrays game, which is the local hockey team down here, and it was a night game. And I remember we left Berkeley Middle School. Me and him were sitting on the back of the bus, splitting the Walkman headphones, and we pretty much had the entire album memorized. It was crazy. Like, I wanted to, Kyle, you have no idea how bad I wanted to be Fife Dawg. Like, I wanted to be him, because back then my eyes were a lot bigger. I hadn't grown into my face yet, so my eyes were big like Fife. I was 5'3" at the time, like Fife. I was a big sports head like Fife. I was a Tar Heels fan like Fife. It made perfect sense. Matter of fact, interesting tidbit, Butter by A Tribe Called Quest on the Low End Theory album, that was one of the first raps that I memorized from beginning to end. That and My Posse on Broadway. But back to Midnight Marauders, I mean, oh my gosh. I don't have enough superlatives. I don't have enough time in the day to talk about the greatness of that album. Just the way that the album starts with the automated voice, and then the next song you just hear, Linda Boulevard, represent, Zent Tribe Called Quest, represent, when the mic is in my hand, I'm never hesitant. My favorite jam back in the day was Eric B for President. I was like, this is how you start an album. Put this in my veins. And I was just like, man. And it just, the thing I loved about it is the sequencing of it, because it's peaks and valleys. Not everything is an oh shit moment. You go from that to, what was the second song? I can't remember. A War Tour. And then from that to 8 Million Stories, mm-hmm. The Fife solo cut. And just the fact, and they would have that same lady, yeah, with the automated voice in between the records. So it was like break up. It was real cool that she would just come in between other songs. And that album has such a hold on me. And then the last song, God Lives Through, just busted that. Oh my God. Oh my God. I was like, this album is incredible. So yeah, this one, Midnight Marauders, is it for me. Still to this day. It's crazy that it's been, it's, gosh, it's come, it's like 32 years now? because that, yeah, it really doesn't. And what's crazy is Midnight Marauders and 36 Chambers both dropped on the same day. So, yeah, Midnight Marauders is my number one pick.
I echo everything that you said. I was a huge, huge Fife fan. Fife really got me when I heard him on Bugging Out on the Low End Theory. Because, and I say this all the time, the Fife that you hear on their first album, which is an incredible album, got five mics, but that Fife and then the Fife that you hear on Low End Theory, two different Fifes. And I mean, like I'm not going to say he was playing around on the first album. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. I don't know. But that second album, Low End Theory, like he came to get busy, and he got busy every which way, but loose going forward. And so I was a huge Fife fan, and I mentioned it on this podcast before, and it's worth repeating. Like Fife's, even when Fife passed, that's the first celebrity that I remember that passed, and maybe one of the few that really like bothered me. Like I was hurt by his passing. Prince was another, but Fife was the first one. Like I was like bothered because like I told people all the time, like if you listen to A Tribe Called Quest, you felt like you knew Fife. Like you like he seemed like the homeboy that you ran with. And literally A Tribe Called Quest as a group, much like Outkast, I grew with them. And so, you know, I really could identify with their music, but I'm like you. That album, Midnight Marauders, it forever gets play. there's no bad songs. Like there's no skips for me. It's an album that I still listen to this day. And I think, you know, like you said, it sequenced very well. And they have their moments where Q-Tip does his thing. They have their moments where Fife does his thing. God Lives Through, I mean, from God Lives Through to the Electric Relaxation. I mean, like, it's that album, it just goes. Like, you literally can just put it on. You can get in a car, put it on, and just ride. And that's it. So I every time that I think about this album, even when I'm not driving, I think about being in my little Nissan Sentra at South Carolina State University, just bumping, you know, A Tribe Called Quest, man. Suffice to say, I'm a huge fan. I have to, you know, go back over your list. If I went which ones I would be bumping first. So my last would be probably the Fugees as well. So I would agree with you there. Then after that, it would probably be the Chronic. Then after that, Southern Playalistic, Cadillac Music. Then after that, Woo, then Tribe, then Nas, just like that. So we got a few correct. I mean, we got a few the same, we got a few different, but it's interesting, you know, just thinking about getting a tape and like I said, which one you gonna bump first. So this has been a fun episode. I mean, all episodes are fun, but this has been fun because, like I said, I definitely wanted to get Danny on here to talk about it and pick his brain when it comes to hip hop. I can't tell y'all that it won't be another one. And if I do another one, it'll definitely be with this guy again. Danny, before we get out of here, man, tell folks where they can find you, where they can find your podcast, man.
Yes, sir. Before I get into that, I do want to say I was at the gym yesterday and I was listening to the episode you did with Uncle Dolomite and Baylor. That was a lot of fun hearing the top 100 LA rappers or the top 50 LA rappers. Man, that was a lot
appreciate
of fun,
it.
Man. So that being said, you can find me on IG at Danny Foxworth 843. All of my podcasts you can find on all digital streaming platforms. I have a baseball podcast called At the Plate with Danny Foxworth, where I just talk to people about their favorite baseball team. Then I have a candle podcast called The Wicked Good Time with Danny Foxworth. And I see you. Matter of fact, 12 Kyle was a guest on At the Plate with Danny Foxworth talking about his Yankees. And y'all make sure that y'all check that episode out. Then A Wicked Good Time with Danny Foxworth. I basically just sniff and review candles and talk about random things in between reviews. Then I have Since We Last Spoke with Danny Foxworth, where I cover a myriad of topics, like a myriad of topics. I talk about grief, anxiety, French fries, hip hop,
how I became a fan of the teams that I became a fan of. I mean, it's a cornucopia of subjects. And honestly, 12 Kyle is one of the biggest inspirations for since we last spoke, if we keeping it a buck, because this man is just like a he's like the chocolate fountain at Golden Corral. It's just an ever-flowing stream of show topics. And I aspire to be like him one day. And then the fourth podcast I do is called Growing Up Low Country with Liz and Danny. That one basically is my friend Liz, who is literally the first friend I ever made in my entire life. We've been friends literally going on 40 years now. And once a month, we get together and just chop it up and just take it back to the good old days growing up in Monk's Corner, South Carolina. So again, all four of those podcasts are on every single streaming platform. And my YouTube channel, you can find at Danny Foxworth 843. And you can find the videos for every episode of all of my podcasts on that YouTube channel. And Kyle, this has been an absolute pleasure, man. I always look forward to having you. I always look forward to being a guest on your pod so we can just kick our feet up, let our head down, so to speak, and just chop it up about
No doubt. And man, listen, I appreciate those kind words. And if you guys have been following the 12 Kyle podcast, you know Danny was on there as well. And you know, if you've been listening and following, we've hung out, you know, twice at South Carolina State's homecoming and had a good time in spite of us, you know, blowing these teams out. So hopefully, you know, God willing, we'll be back in. I know I'll be back in Orangeburg for homecoming. If Danny comes up, hey, man, we'll do it all again and tailgate and the whole nine.
Me too.
But yeah, this brother right here is one of the hottest and one of the best. And the thing that I told him that I appreciate is the fact his level of dedication. I remember when you reached out to me and said, hey, I'm thinking about doing a podcast. And I was like, okay, hey, this is what you need to do and so forth and so on. And he literally has taken it. He just recently hit 100 episodes. And it's happened so fast. I'm telling you, you're going to blink and he's going to be at 200 episodes because he's good at what he does and he's dedicated. And I think those two things right there, once you have that, you're definitely going to be unstoppable, man. So I'm going to tell you guys already, this will not be his last time. He will be back on again. And like I said, I handpicked him for this particular episode. When I saw this meme, I was like, I got to get Danny on for this. And I was like, when we recorded last week, I was like, hey, I got something that I want you to get on. He's like, what you got? And I just texted him the picture. He's like, yo, when do you want to do it? I was like, hey, we can do it on Monday. So definitely glad to have this brother back on. You guys know where to find me. If you don't, you can catch the 12 Kyle podcast every Thursday and every Sunday. You can find them wherever you find podcasts. We're also on YouTube as well. And this podcast, the Rap Soul podcast, we drop new episodes every Monday and every Friday. So we're giving you four episodes each week. Like I said, and we're everywhere. If you're on social media, hit us up. 12 Kyle, Rap Soul podcast. yes, for sure. We're a little bit of everywhere. But more importantly, man, share the episode, particularly if you're a fan of music. Share this episode with a friend or family member who you think that loves music. Because here's the thing. I say, modestly speaking, this is the best music podcast that you've heard because you just listen to it. So that's going to do it for us. For my man, Danny Foxworth, I am your boy, 12 Kyle. We'll catch you guys next time. 5,000. Cheers.
Thank you for listening. This concludes the episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Rap Soul podcast. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the podcast on social media. And feel free to continue this discussion on our Reddit page. More importantly, share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. Until next time, 5,000.